Does anybody else want? Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Next, Jiva Goswami is saying something about verse number 45. This is third chapter, 15th chapter. Pupsam gatim megayatam iha yoga margayir dhyanaspadam bahumatam naina virahav pounds nam vapur datrayagam ananya siddhayir Alpatikai Savagvinan Yutam Ashtabhogaihi. This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of the yoga process, and it is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary, but factual, as proved by great yogis. The Lord is full in eight kinds of achievement. But for others, these achievements are not possible in full perfection. The verse beginning Punsal. Punsal iti. Bahumatam brahmano bi gana prakasha dvat atya dharas padam bahunam Tatvadvisham Samaptam Itiva. The word Bahumatam is there in the verse. It means highly regarded. That indicates greatly admired as the object of even more intense realization than realization of Brahma. That's what Bahumatam means. The vision of the Lord's body. Palmsnam vapur darshayanam, the verse says. Iti purushasya garbhoda shaino gunavatara rupam shri vishvakyam yad vapus tad abhinnataya swam vapur darshayanamantam darshayantam natu pramadiva anyata dwayn ethyar daha. Revealing his bodily form of the Purusha means showing his own body as different from the body of the Purusha, Garbhodaka Shayi, because who they're looking at now is Narayana and Vaikuntha. And he's showing his Palsnam Bhapur, the same body that he has when he's the creator of the material world. His form as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. The Lord's avatar form, known as Sri Vishnu, who rules the mode of nature. must be modes, plural. Well, he goes over the, I guess the role, the mode of nature. That's strange. Which mode of nature?
I'm making a comment here. Hare Krishna. Anyway, he rules over the mode of goodness. He did not appear differently as do Brahma and others. Okay, demigods like Brahma appear differently from the Purusha, but Narayana Vaikuntha looks like just like the Purusha because he is the same person. Anatyena Swainaiva Siddhaik Swarupa Bhutair Ityartha. He, along with his, the commentary here, Jiva Goswami's commentary, doesn't mention his opulences, but that's implied, along with his opulences, which are achieved by no one else, only by himself. That is to say, which belong to his very self. They're not obtained from somebody or somewhere else. They belong to him eternally, his opulences. The opulences that he displayed. Ata eva autpatikais tadvad evanadi siddhair ityartaha. Therefore, these opulences are innate, eternally existing, without beginning, just as he is. Something can have a beginning and be eternal. If it lasts forever after it's created, then it's also called eternal. But it's a higher degree of being eternal if it has no beginning either. Ata eva, animad ashtaishvaryayar yutam vishishtam. Okay, adjective yutam, that's going with rupam. Natu upalokshitam, vishishta, yuta. The word is yuta. So, his bodily form was joined, characterized essentially by, not just superficially. He was joined or characterized essentially by the eight powers, which include the ability to become infinitesimal, the eight mystic powers. So, he doesn't just get them or borrow them. He has them innately, eternally. Nobody else does. Anena tesham stutyaspada visheshana tvena aishvaryopalakshita samasta bhagana tadvishatvam vyanjitam. This implies, without saying it, that all of his opulences, which are indicated partially by his mystic powers, not just these yogic powers, but all of his opulences, indicated partially by his mystic powers and being specifically described as fit objects of praise, all these opulences are transcendental just as he is. And samagrinand is the verb in the verse. They proclaimed fully samagrinand, samyag astuvan ityartaha. They proclaimed fully samagrinand means they offered proper praise, the four kumaras, seeing this. Here's the commentary. The personality of Godhead is the object of devotion for Pumsan, which means all living beings. And he is also Puman. He's the supreme living being. The form of Narayan, which the Kumaras saw, was Pumsnam. Just like the Puman or Purusha, known as Garbhodashayi Vishnu, lying in the water of creation on the bottom half of the universe. The Lord of Vaikuntha expands many forms of himself, including the three Purushas who create the material world, among whom Garbhoda Shai Vishnu II rules each universe separately as its creator, maintainer, and supersoul. Lord Vishnu appears quite the same as Narayana, whereas Brahma and all other demigods appear differently. Lord Narayana is also said here to be Bahu Matam. Matam means respected, and Bahu can be taken as an adverb meaning greatly, or as a pronoun in the instrumental case meaning Bahuna or Bahubi Matam. He is respected by many people. Either way, the Supreme Truth is one without a second. There are therefore no differences within him, but there is, by his inconceivable personal energies, spiritual variety within him. This variety within the one who has no difference is called Vishesha, and he is thus said to be Vishishta, distinguished by varieties. So the Acharyas, actually this term Vishesha comes from the Vaisheshika philosophy. Things or substances, physical things, have qualities, and they have movements, activities, and they have jatis, or they belong to categories. Like a cow, if you have a cow, it has cowness in it. Cowness is the quality or jati. But what makes one cow different from the other cows if all of them the same way have cowness in them? What's the difference between one cow and another? Each cow has got a particularity in it called vishesha. It's like a serial number. Every individual thing has got its own unique, whatever it is, according to this philosophy. It's just called vishesha, the uniqueness of it. You can say it's like a serial number. Each cow is stamped with a separate serial number to distinguish it from the other cows. That's called vishesha in the Nyaya Vaisheshika philosophy. Later on, both Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya used this term. Ramanuja used it in the past participle form, vishishta. That the absolute truth is vishishta. One without a second, according to the Upanishads, there's no duality, differences, material differences, in the absolute truth, but he has his vishesha and he's vishishta. He has his attributes. He's not monolithic or without any qualities. He's got many qualities, and they are his visheshas. Madhva also uses the term to describe how the absolute truth, which has no difference, has the appearance of difference. Baladeva Vibhushan uses that to explain the Vedanta philosophy taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the other acharyas, Rupa, Sanatana, and others, they use the term Achintya Bheda Bheda, as used by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Baladeva Vibhushan expresses the same idea using the standard ancient term of vishesha. He says that the appearance in Krishna of qualities, even though he's the absolute truth, is called vishesha. That's no different than the idea of achintya bheda bheda, difference and non-difference simultaneously, but in an inconceivable way. Okay, finishing the purport. His qualities are one and the same with himself, not like the coincidental, separable qualities, the upalakshanas, of finite entities, such as the temporary, limited fame of a great ruler or the beauty of a young woman. So the king may be famous, but he's famous within a certain scope. They know about him in some other places, but they don't know about him all over the universe. And they forget about him after a while. So it's temporary, it's limited in time and space, the fame of some great king. Or the beauty of a woman who's not going to be young forever. That's also temporary, limited in time. And her beauty is relative. You know, for the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, the so-called beautiful women of the earth are not very beautiful. Okay, any questions? Reb. It's two different words. You have two synonyms for the word water. Uda or udaka both mean water. So it's just which word you put in the compound. It can be called garbhoda or garbhodaka.
Okay, because both of them are in the commentary. Maybe somebody would think it's another
issue. Oh, well, let's see. Why don't we go about it? Okay, so we'll just take out the ka in the second one. Okay, yeah. It's not two different Vishnus. Okay. So no, there's no garbhodaka here. Just garbhoda. Fixed.
And could you say something more about Vishesha for Madhvacharya and how exactly Radha did you mention it?
Well, the thing is, Madhva's understanding is not exactly the same as ours. Madhva only uses Vishesha in a limited way. Within himself, the Supreme Lord has varieties, which are not really differences. And he says within the original Pradhan, there's no differences, but there's a Vishesha. But that's as far as he uses the term. Whereas we say there's that kind of relationship between the Lord and all of his energies, even the material energies, not just himself and his own personality. But everything is a Vishesha. That's more like Ramanuja's view, and it's our view. That everything that exists is a Vishesha of the personality of Godhead. But Madhva likes to emphasize the difference. He's the same as himself, but he's different from the Prakriti, he's different from the Jivas. He emphasizes the difference. That's why it's called Dvaitava. But he uses Vishesha. He uses Vishesha only to mainly talk about the personal qualities of the Supreme. But not the relationship between the Supreme and his other energies.
How is Baladevi Bhushan's explanation?
Baladevi Bhushan's explanation is the same as the other acharyas in the Gaudiya line. He's just using the Madhva terminology and applying it to the explanation of Lord Chaitanya's teachings.
The appearance, you said that when there is the...
It's appearance of difference in what doesn't actually have any differences, any distinctions. Mm-hmm. It's the appearance of such in the Absolute Truth which has no differences in it.
Okay.
And that means especially the personality of, well, maybe for us it means we are not proposing radical difference. We're saying that everything is also non-different from the Supreme. Everything. Madhvacharya would not like to hear those words. But Lord Chaitanya says it.
I just didn't understand this point from a lot of the explanation about that it appears.
That's the definition of Vishesha that's given by Madhvacharya, and it applies. It's apparent a difference in what actually doesn't have difference.
But we say that the difference is not just apparent, that it's there and at the same time, that they exist simultaneously.
It's there and it's not there. You know, for us, there's no exactly defining it. That's what it means to be inconceivable, that logic cannot pin it down. So that's an okay approximation, the way Madhva says it. And Baladev repeats that.
Okay.
But there's a point, you know, beyond that, it's actually inconceivable. It's just an attempt to approximate the idea. But the relationship between the Lord and his energies is ultimately not completely formulatable in logical terms. For us. Other sampradayas try to formulate it, each in their own way. Lord Chaitanya said, forget it, it's inconceivable. Yes?
You mentioned the equality of understanding of what is the equality of
imperative? I said something else. I didn't say imperative.
Yeah.
No. Maybe I said another word that sounded like that. Ramanuja imperative.
You say the imperative initiation, he's using the part participle, then he's
saying. Oh, not imperative, but past passive participle and. Oh, vishesh is an adjective. It's a noun, that's all. It's a noun formed from the verb vishish. Vishish does the past passive participle. There's no imperative there.
What is the difference of this vishesh of Ramanuja Madhva and Madhva Vidya Bhushan? Why he quoted Madhva's explanation of vishesh and other one?
Because Madhva, I'm not trying, I didn't try to analyze the subtle difference between Madhva and Ramanuja, it's just that they both use the term vishesha. Okay, so here we're talking about vishesha. I don't, well, vishishta is here. Jiva Goswami using the term vishishta, and sometimes he talks about visheshas. So I'm just giving a historical background that both of the major Vaishnava Sampradayas, Ramanuja and Madhva, use the term vishesha, not always in the same exact way. Don't always apply it in the same scope, but they both use that terminology, and our Sampradaya, Jiva Goswami is using it. That's all. I'm not, as far as what's this, Madhva's is different, like I said. Ramanuja's use of it is almost, is basically the same as ours. But the only big difference is that Ramanuja and the other Vaishnava Sampradayas are really trying to explain it all logically. Mm-hmm. Lord Chaitanya is emphasizing that, the subtleties of it are beyond logic. Because it's illogical to be both something and the opposite of that, to be the same and to be different. That's illogical. But, so therefore, the other sampradayas try to explain some way in which it is logical. That it's really different, it's really the same. It's because roughly what Ramanuja says is that it's all the same, but that one has different aspects. But he's emphasizing a little more the sameness. We're trying to say it's both. If without going more to one side or the other, it's hard to explain it logically, because then you got opposites, contradictory opposites. You can logically explain it if you take one side or the other. We're taking both sides and just saying, forget it, you can't explain it logically.
Yes.
He borrows the same terms. He's talking Madhva's language, but he's actually, what he's presenting is Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. He's not presenting Madhva's version, he's just using Madhva's language. He's using the word vishesha the same way Madhva used it, but using it differently, because he applies it to the relationship between the Lord and all of his energies, and Madhva doesn't do that.
So what is the difference when you say that he's using Madhva's term? How it is distinguishes from Ramanuja's term? What is the specific quality? Because both of them are using the vishesha.
No, but the difference is where you find the issue of vishesha. According to Madhva, you only find vishesha within the Lord himself. Within the Swarupa, there's vishesha. We say there's the way Baladev Vidyabhushan is talking about it, that vishesha exists between the Lord and all of his energies, including the marginal and the material energies.
I was just wondering, is there any particular reason
Baladev Vidyabhushan was originally a Madhva sannyasi. Yeah. He was trained up by the Madhva Sampradaya. And he's trying to present Vedanta philosophy for a more general audience of scholars than our own congregation. So therefore he's using more traditional, more recognized terminology rather than Lord Chaitanya's innovative terminology. But the philosophy is the same. What Jiva Goswami teaches, what Baladev Vidyabhushan teaches, is no different. Yeah. Especially since Jiva Goswami also uses the term vishesha.
Actually, I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's my kind of the particular point what I want to ask is that when you say that Baldev Deva Vishnu Rishi Mr. Visheshana to explain Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, we are referring that as Madhva's term. That means it is an exclusive purpose other than Ramanuja's term also. What is that?
No, Ramanuja, yeah, I'm sorry. Well, the thing is, Ramanuja uses it in pretty much the same way also, although he more uses the participle, Vishishta. Yeah, but Baladev, as a person, came from the Madhva Sampradaya.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. The Ramanujas, they use it not exactly the same. They're more like us. It's more universally applied. That there's a relation of a shape, or everything comprises the Visheshas of Brahman. And Madhva would not agree with that. Okay, but it's not like Baladev Vidyabhushan follows the Madhva line that closely. He just, in this case, he borrowed a term. But it's not, you study the Govinda Bhasha, it's not just following Madhva, it actually follows Ramanuja more than it does Madhva, the Govinda Bhasha. So, if that was his purpose, he didn't do it, you know, to make it look like Madhva school commentary. It doesn't look like one. If you were going to actually look at Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary on Vedanta, looks like he took more from Ramanuja. Yeah. Okay, then, we got
the same connection between Sanjay is not.
Yeah.
So when you say that Baladev Vidyabhushan uses Madhva term, it's just because of his connection to Madhva Sampradaya, otherwise.
He found it useful to use it similar to the way Madhva used it, but. You know, modify it.
Yeah, when you say that he's using the Madhva term, but it's not necessarily only Madhva term, it is.
Well, he used it more or less the Madhva way.
Okay.
You know, not only the word, but more or less the meaning that Madhva had, but he applied it differently. Okay, yeah, Madhva Sampradaya doesn't have a monopoly on the word,
okay.
But they have their own special way of using the word. Okay, and then Eric, and then Rama. Yeah. Not Eric, I'm sorry. Sri Krishna.
I have two small questions. Sarvaja Prabhu said Ramanandi. I think there is a difference between Ramanuja and...
Yeah, Ramanandi's claim connection with the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and they were Ramanuja Tilak, but it's sort of tenuous. Somebody there got initiation into the Sampradaya, and they... But it's not much of a connection. They don't have the same philosophy.
The Sampradaya is not authorized.
Maybe it may have originally been sort of authorized. Maybe the founder of it was actually initiated in the Ramanuja Sampradaya.
Yeah,
but a lot of the Ramanandis are just Mayavadis. Not all of them, but some of them are just Mayavadis.
I have a small question. You said in commentary, the personality of Godhead is the object of devotion for Kumsan. All living beings. I don't understand this. All living beings.
Let's see. What was that again? What was the word? Pumsam, highly regarded by the Pums.
Mm-hmm.
Which Pums? Just the men or some particular men? So Pumsam, he's Bahumatam for the Pumsam, genitive plural. And so Jiva Goswami is telling us who this Pumsam is. It's all living beings. Not man, not some particular man, but all living beings. That's the meaning of, in this context, of Pumsam. Because the verse says, he's Bahumatam for the Pumsam. That means the men like him, but the women don't? You know, the men especially like him? No, I mean, Pumsadhir has to be taken to mean all living, not just human beings, all living beings.
So how can this all living beings like dog and other animals, how they
can... Because sometimes Pum is used in a more general sense. It can, maybe it doesn't really mean that in the dictionary, but here we take it to mean anybody who's alive, even a dog.
Yeah, so.
Well, okay. Well, let's see. Where do I get this all living beings anyway? Is that my commentary? Yeah. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's really only human beings. Well, yeah, but he's not the supreme human being. He's a supreme living being. If he's the Lord for all human beings, then he has to be the supreme human being. That doesn't sound right. Let me see. Let me make a note on that. Or just human beings. Can we look up Puman? Can you check Puman in the dictionary? Does it mean living being in general? I think we'll find in some places in the Bhagavatam where the term is used, you know, the same kind of phrase for Pumsadhir, that some commentary somewhere says it means all living beings. I don't think I'm making this up from nowhere. But what does Modinam say about Puman? Or is it Pums? No, Puman, Pumsam. Well, according to the grammarians, the word is Pums.
Human being.
You want to resolve it?
One thing.
But Monius doesn't say living being.
He says human being.
Human being.
There's a spirit.
What's a soul? Soul?
Yeah,
he had soul on the list.
There is a soul, spirit of man. Supreme spirit. Soul of man.
All souls.
Okay.
So if it means soul in general, then that's living beings. Yeah, then it means man. But I think we're justified by the dictionary if it means soul. Yeah. Not supreme soul, but just any soul. And what did you have to suggest?
No, another thing to all that. The personality of Godhead is the object of devotion for Pumsan, all human beings, and he's also Puman, the supreme being. But that's just if you want.
Well, no, the supreme being could be impersonal.
Yeah.
It could be Brahman then.
Because we don't want to say that he's a supreme human being.
Right, but we don't want to say he's impersonal either.
Yeah. But this work, the soul actually allows for that.
Okay, yeah.
One being.
But a human being is not just a being.
Yeah, of course. It's possible
that
this is
possible.
Yes? There is one
meaning
of Pumsa, the soul of the universe.
The soul of the universe?
The meaning means one is the soul of the universe.
Well, Puman, singular, yeah. Because Puman is the Purusha, it's Vishnu.
Lord Krishna is like soul means.
Because the Purusha, the three Purushas, are the super soul. It has the soul of all beings, Paramatma. Yes? But here we have the object of devotion for the Pumsas, the Pums plural. That doesn't mean for the three Vishnus. That means for all the other people, living entities. Yes?
You said that in the first case, Pumsan, he took Pums as a jati, as all human beings. And then in the second case, Puman, the supreme.
But that isn't, that's the same problem, is that he just doesn't say he's a human being, he says he's a soul, or he's a living being. Does it? It's like mixing apples and oranges, it's not parallel, either way. But it's true, it just doesn't sound good. He is the Lord of all apples and oranges. but yeah, it doesn't sound parallel. Yes? Yes, but don't take it too black and white. It's,
sure.
It's more subtle than that. Yeah.
Just from your description, and then Lord Chaitanya is in the middle saying that you can't really, if you take both equally, then it's a chinta.
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya tries to emphasize the equality, which makes it hard to explain it logically.
Yeah. So my question is, since there are purely devotees of the Lord, both from the Buddha and the why would they take this test? Or what, I mean,
because they're seeing the absolute truth from different viewpoints.
But what's the if it is a chintya, then what is the what do we gain by emphasizing the, or pointing these different aspects?
Why do we?
Yeah, well,
emphasize that it's both?
I'm just trying to understand because they're all connected. I mean, the Lord and his devotees, they're all connected. So what's the purpose of presenting it in that way?
Lord Chaitanya is certainly teaching the highest degree of love of God. Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with philosophy? Why is having the right idea, how is that equivalent to having the highest form of love of God? It isn't directly. It's just that the same Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya, is promoting both the proper understanding and the right mood. They are connected, but not, you know, equivalent. They're two different things. Think the right thing and to feel the right thing. But if you're thinking the wrong thing, then it's very hard to become purified. And to think that, you know, to have a philosophy a little different than Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is not really thinking the wrong thing, but it's not getting it exactly right. So yeah, mostly right. But, I mean, you know, Lord Chaitanya and, say, Baladeva Jambushan representing Lord Chaitanya explaining Vedanta is, in small ways, disagreeing with other Vaishnava acharyas. Otherwise, why write a separate commentary? He's got his own opinions, or not. Own interpretation, which is not exactly the same as the previous interpretations, which are right, but not exactly as perfectly right as the way that actually follows Lord Chaitanya's opinion. So, to get to the perfect position, the most perfect position, it's important to get the philosophy exactly right. In subtle way, why? You know, what makes it, why is it a difference? That's hard to tell, but it's subtle. But it has a lot to do with, you want the highest love of God, you better take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And whatever his philosophy, opinion is, you should accept it. So, you know, why it's the right opinion is just because that's the way God sees it, and he knows. We don't know why he sees it like that.
Basically, we can say, well, Lord Chaitanya
Krishna,
so he has
a
final, like,
that's it, you know. Not just he's a final authority, but he's the one who knows better than anybody else. And maybe we can't ultimately and completely understand why his way of seeing it is different or better. But it's his viewpoint, and he must know from his viewpoint. Maybe he can explain it, but I don't know how to explain it. Yeah.
The question is there that we want to know the truth.
And 8% different takes on the truth, slightly different. And we can point out some subtle, what we consider fallacies or deficiencies in the other philosophies. Small, you know, relative deficiencies. And we could give lists, but we don't want to get into fights with other Vaishnavas unnecessarily.
Yeah.
We don't want to put them down or discourage anybody. But when it comes, if you really want to know, what do we have to say that's different? That can be specified. Where do we disagree? You know, in a polite way, we can explain it.
So,
So then somebody can say, oh, so the pure devotee can present the philosophy that has deficiencies, that is impossible. It's a question.
If it's the Lord's desire, Lord Shiva presented, as Shankaracharya presented in Mayavada, which our acharyas attack very, very vigorously. But we respect Shankaracharya as not only a pure devotee, eternal servant of Krishna. So Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, they're presenting the absolute truth, but we would like to present it slightly different than they do. See, so it's, although we should respect and be friendly with the other sampradayas, we can't just do things their way. We have our own sampradaya, and there's reasons for it. We can't just swallow whole everything that they say and do. We have to do it our own way and think it our own way. Yes?
It's not a comment on this, kind of. I want to ask you, is it that Ramananda Madhva, they presented these philosophies, they are good devotees, but it is necessity of the time and situation and the order of the Lord that they had to do this because Ramananda was from Shishtadvaita.
Yes, that's one way to look at it. It's sort of confidential. You know, I don't think their adherents would understand we tell them like that. In the Navadvipa Dharma Mahatmya, Bhaktivedanta Thakur is showing how these acharyas came and met Lord Chaitanya in Navadvipa. You know, he revealed the higher truth to them, and he told them, don't tell this to anybody. It's not your job, and it's not the right time to reveal these things. So you have to promise me not to talk about it. I'm showing you the higher truth, but don't tell anybody about it.
So maybe we can say that they are pure devotees, but they are not deficient because they are just doing the timeless assumption job.
Why not? Yeah, give them the credit. Even if that's not exactly the case, but yeah. They're pure devotees and they're serving Krishna in their own way. Krishna doesn't want them to teach what Lord Chaitanya later taught. Even if they knew it all and they agreed with it, but it was their job to teach something else. Slightly different, not much different, but slightly different.
So if that comes, then I sometimes feel that how a person can speak something which is really not, knows that it's not exactly the correct thing, but how they can confidently preach that, or is their heart is not exactly the philosophy more than that?
Well, I think the psychology has to be that you have to be convinced of what you're preaching. It's hypocrisy to intentionally teach something that you know isn't true. So, somehow Yogamaya must have convinced Madhvacharya that what he was saying was exactly right. Otherwise he wouldn't have been so confident about, bold about it. Yes. Krishna has his energies. He can make you convinced. Yam yam, yo yo yam yam tadam bhakta shade archanam ijati. Tasyaham achalam shradam tamiva vidamyam vidadam. Whatever anybody wants to believe in, I arrange that his faith is very strong in that. Whatever it is. So Krishna can, even great devotees can be influenced by Krishna's yogamaya to believe something that we slightly disagree with. And we see disagreements among devotees in the same group sometimes, arranged by yogamaya. Yes?
Couldn't there also be a question that at that time it was needed to take my mother university in order to do it? It was needed to stress that one part is needed.
Okay.
Maybe therefore, Madhvacharya, although he knew about our conclusions, but he might not have understood that at the time that it would be accepted. So he wished that kind of.
You could say like that. Or this question, why did Ramanujacharya not quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, and is given as evidence by some scholars that Bhagavatam didn't exist yet in the 12th century, because Ramanuja doesn't quote from it. But we can explain that at that time Bhagavatam was very controversial, was considered sectarian, and the Vishnu Purana wasn't, it was more generally accepted. So Ramanuja quoted from Vishnu Purana more. He quoted from Vishnu Purana a lot, and he's not known to have ever quoted from the Bhagavatam. But it's because Bhagavatam, when he was preaching, was controversial. He wanted to convince a general audience. That's the explanation the Acharyas give. Yes?
I read that the quote, one quote was found in the Bhagavatam in the
7th of Ramanuja. Is it
Ramanuja? Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Recently, Acharyas also accepted Ramanuja did not quote from
Bhagavatam. What do they say?
The reason they say is that Shankaracharya quoted Vishnu Purana.
Yes.
But he never touched Bhagavatam. So Ramanuja presenting Sribhashya is refuting Shankara, so he took those.
He took the same shastras that
so that's why
yes.
There was no need for him to take Bhagavatam. That was the reason
okay.
He did.
Well, okay. The only thing is, not all of Ramanuja's writings is polemic against Shankara. Mm-hmm. Sribhashya is.
Mm-hmm.
Even that is not all just against Shankara.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote other books that aren't addressed to Shankara. Why did he quote Bhagavatam in any other book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But after him, when he quoted, they say that just to pacify others, that
yeah,
it's
later,
not that we don't answer.
Later on in the subject.
Others quote this. Yeah.
It's
strange,
yeah. Which? Maybe what?
The previous Acharyas, they did not discuss in the Bhagavatam because they were called Bhagavatas. They hold the discussions in Bhagavatam.
Called Bhagavats, the devotees of Bhagavan, and the Bhagavad Gita, they quote. But yeah, Ramanujacharya did not quote, maybe he did once, but it seemed like he didn't quote the Bhagavatam.
The previous Acharyas of Ramanujacharya didn't.
Previous to him, the Alvars?
Well,
it's interesting, there are some Leelas alluded to by the Alvars which seem to be only in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Yes?
Maybe you can't teach the 12, portion of 12 students to 10 class.
Yes.
Like that, maybe that time people is not qualified.
You mean that the people, the scholars at that time weren't qualified to understand Bhagavatam? Maybe because they were too, you know, too proud and not devotional enough. That's one reason. Vishnu Purana is more suitable for Mishra Bhaktas, Karma Mishra Bhaktas. And Bhagavatam is for those who want to be pure devotees.
Because Bhagavatam is speaking about the pure devotion.
Yes, and Vishnu Purana is more mixed. Not completely impure, but more mixed. Same thing. It's also mixed. Not all. See, Padma Purana has different things and different. It's a big Purana and has different sections, different qualities in the different sections. We're over time, and isn't there another class?
Yeah.
We're 10 minutes over time already. Go ahead, make last comment.
Yeah.
We started late, but I don't want to mess up the whole thing.
Yeah, but this is a very last question.
Yeah.
I'm very tempted to ask about the Bhagavad, because it was mentioned that the followers.
Servant of devotees of Bhagavan.
Yeah, then scholars say that there is a merge between those who follow the path of Vasudeva and the Bhagavats and the
Bhagavad. That's, I think, an unfounded speculation. It's just somebody's idea. I don't think he has much reason to say that. You know, they're just assuming Vaishnava religion is a new religion and these older things are something else. What's the difference between Vasudeva and Bhagavan? I don't know what they can imagine is the difference. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Take a look at it.